So in the opening part of today's parsha, we hear about Yisro, the father-in-law of Moshe, arriving to join the Jewish people in the desert. Now, to be sure, there's a dispute whether Yisro came before Matan Torah or after Matan Torah. And this is an issue of contention. Let's simply say that from Rashi's perspective, Yisro comes prior to the giving of the Torah. However, before we move on to the narrative of the giving of the Torah, in order to complete the story of Yisro, the Torah jumps ahead 4 months to the 10th of Tishrei. And according to Rashi, that is where the second reading of Parshas Yisro opens. So we know Ein Muktam Umu'ukhar B'Torah. The Torah is not necessarily written in chronological order. And here, it's specifically not in chronological order, where Moshe Rabbeinu came down from the mountain the last time on Yom Kippur, after his third set of his heavenly experience. And then, after coming down for the third time, on the 11th day of Tishrei, which is where today's narrative opens, Moshe Rabbeinu is judging the people, the nation of Israel. Now, not everybody agrees with this. And for example, the Ibn Ezra says, Mimachras, Vayihi Mimachras, means the day after he came. And the Chizkuni says, Mimachras is the day after the meal. Because we heard about a meal yesterday, and Moshe Rabbeinu himself was actually serving as the waiter. He was welcoming everybody as the host. So at any rate, we're going to follow the approach of Rashi. And this is beginning now. Perek Yud Ches, Pasuk Yud Gimel. Verse 13 of the 18th chapter of Exodus. Vayihi Mimachras. And so it was the next day. Vayeshev Moshe. Moshe sat Lishpait Es Ha'am. So Moshe, we know, is in a sitting posture. And Vayam et ha'om al Moshe. The nation is standing on Moshe, or waiting on Moshe, so they're standing. Min ha'boker ad ha'erev. From morning till night. So, this, of course, needs to be understood for a number of reasons. When we say that they're standing on Moshe Rabbeinu from morning to night, what does this mean? Now, the beginning, the opening Rashi here, is he talks about Yisro and when Yisro came and how this could have unfolded and so on and so forth, the timeline. And what Vayihi Machras means, we're going to skip straight to the second comment of Rashi, which is Vayeshev Moshe. Rashi notes that in the scripture, Moshe Rabbeinu's posture is described as standing, is sitting, and Vayam Eidaam, the people are described as sitting, as standing. Moshe is sitting, the people are standing. So in the beginning, Yisro does not know what's going on here. He doesn't see the people are standing because they came to get advice or judgment or some kind of rendering because they have an issue. He just sees that Moshe Rabbeinu is Yeshiv Kemelech. He's sitting the way a king sits. V'chulam Eimdim, and everybody's standing. Now, if it's a question of a court, so in the court proceedings, the people who are actually involved in the court proceedings, the litigants, if you will, they'll be standing. But everybody else will be sitting. But here, everybody's standing. So in Yisro's image, in his view, in his eye, so Moshe Rabbeinu was now assuming some kind of monarchy. He would sit, everybody would stand. This bothered Yisro very much. And he said, why is Moshe doing this? He felt that Moshe Rabbeinu was abusing the dignity of the people. He felt that the Jewish people were Hashem's people. Hashem had selected them, given them the Torah. Yes, they had sinned, but they had done tshuva. It's true, Moshe Rabbeinu played a pivotal role, but still, they still should be treated properly, and they should be given proper respect. And this bothered him. He's a father-in-law. So he gave him a rebuke, akach. As it says, Shanemar madua ata yeshiv levadecha. Why are you the only one sitting? V'kulam nitzavim. Now, of course, Yisro, who clearly is not as intuitive as he thinks, will find out that they're not just standing there. Moshe's not sitting in court, meaning in a royal court, but actually it's literally in court. This is the people are coming to bring their issues, to adjudicate. So that's the first thing that we note. The reason that the Torah talks about the posture, I guess that's a question. Why would the Torah have to talk about the posture? The Torah could just say that Yisro saw that Moshe was judging the people min ha'boker ad ha'erev. Because really and truly, his issue with Moshe is going to be, you're going to get worn out. You can't do this. You can't be responsible taking care of the people. Min ha'boker ad ha'erev. You're going to have to delegate. So why does the Torah talk about posture over here? So that was, Yisro had like a kind of a double complaint. Number one, Who turned you into a king? This wasn't supposed to go that way. Number two, he said, like, you can't do this. Rashi says, literally from morning to night, Moshe didn't take a second. Ella, kol dayin, shadon din emes lamitei. The Torah wants to let you know that if a judge, in all sincerity, with full integrity, sits to render a judgment, to analyze a case, to take the facts in, and then to give a resolution, to so to speak, render a psak din, a final ruling, but he does it la'amitai, with full integrity, afilo sha'achas, even if he does it for just one period during the day. Maila alov hakosov, the scripture considers it, kilo esik b'teder kol yom, as if that person would have engaged and immersed himself in the study of Torah all day long. It's as if he becomes a partner with God Himself, the Creator, in Ma'aseh Bereishis and bringing the world into existence. Shenemar, with regard to creation, it uses the same terminology. It says Vayihi Erev, and then it says Vayihi Boker. So, in other words, that there's similar language. The last time we saw this language from Erev and Boker was in the Torah's narrative of creation. So, in other words, here what Baal Rashi is, clearly it has to be euphemism. Cannot be from the morning to night, literally. When the sun rose, Moshe was sitting. Sun set, 12 hours later, he was still sitting. It's not humanly possible. It can't be. So why did the Torah use that terminology then? Clearly the Torah wants to tell us something. So Rashi says the Torah wants to talk to you about the concept of rendering a psak din, of giving a ruling. That if you do this with integrity, and of course Moshe Rabbeinu did, then you become a shutef, you become a partner with the Creator in bringing the world into existence. We know that the world is sustained through mishpat, through judgment. And the only way you could have judgment is if you have a judge who judges with integrity. And that's no small thing. That's a big deal. So that's why the Torah opens up with this description. Now we understand why the first pasuk here alludes to posture, why Yisro alluded to that, because that was Yisro's misunderstanding. And secondly, why the Torah evokes imagery which seems actually impossible. What would be the point? Everything has to be, every verse has to be understood kipshuto, every verse has to be understood literally, and this is a verse that's impossible to understand literally. Vayar chaysen Moshe es kol asher hu aysel ha'am. So the father of Moshe sees everything he's doing to the nation. Vayomer, and he says, mo hadavar hazeh asher ata aysel, what is this thing that you're doing la'am to the nation? Madua ata yeshev levadecha, why are you sitting alone? V'chol ha'am nitzav alecha, and everybody is standing. And again he says, min ha'beker ad orev, from morning to night. So here we know this, now Yisro is using euphemism too, like in other words, this is inordinate. It's excessive. We also do not require an elucidation of what Yisro's complaint was. We already know that. Rashi had explained it in his commentary in verse 13. So now we understand what his issue is in verse 14, when he says, why are you doing this to the nation? He says, why did you make yourself into a king? Why did you establish a monarchy? Is that what this was about? Or is it about Kvod and Shel Yisrael? Vayomer Moshe, Moshe very patiently explains to his father-in-law, I am not seeking monarchy. This is not about any royal court, but rather, ki yoveh elai ha'om lidrei shalekim. The people have come to seek out God. I'm simply responding to their request. Lidrei shalekim. Rashi says, Kitagume. This should be seen or understood in the syntax of the Targum, not literally to seek out God. It means Lemisba Ulpan, to learn the lessons from Hashem. In other words, Lishel Talmud Pihagvura, to ask the one who has learned, or to learn from the one who learned from the mouth of the might, which is a euphemism describing HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This beautiful story told that the Alter Rebbe looked at his window and he saw throngs of people coming, and he closed the window, closed the shutters, and he said to his wife, what do they want from me? Why are these people coming here? And the Rebbetzin saw that she had to do something. This is not a good situation. The Alter Rebbe was pretty serious. He was not pleased what was going on. And he didn't like this fame, and he didn't like all the people coming, and he felt that he was unworthy, and it seemed as if he would kind of, you know, stop his teaching. So Alter Rebbe's Rebbetzin said to him, Ze kumen heren, was du hast gehört von dein Rebbe. They came to hear what you heard from your teacher. So Alter Rebbe said, Azei, indeed. Ey, bazei, vel, ze zogun, and zogun. Then I will tell them, and I will tell them. Right? So as long as it wasn't about him, as long as it was the one he heard of my Rebbe, said, oh, that's another story. That's fine. So Moshe Rabbeinu said, they're not here for me. This is not a monarchy. I'm not here for my glory. We're here to word of Hashem. I'm just a funnel. I'm just passing on the words of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And in that sense, that's what they're coming to get judged about. Now, according to the opinion of Rashi, there really is no question what they're coming to get judged about. The people have been left to their own devices for approximately 3 months, 4 months. Obviously, disputes unfolded. But according to the opinions of the other Rishonim, so what were they fighting about? How'd they have such quick fights? They barely left Mitzrayim. They barely were fighting with Moshe. Here they wanted water, here they wanted food, they got their bread, and then Yisrael shows up. And already, min ha-boker ad erev, morning to night, how many fights could there have been? So the Chizkuni says something unbelievable. He says the first people came out of the sea, they saw the booty getting kind of washed ashore. So they took all the gold and silver. The stragglers who came at the end didn't have that much left to take. And they said, hey, this is not fair. Was it our fault? Was our fault that we came in at the end of the tunnel? We should get at least 50%. Everything should be divided equally. And the other people said, nope, finders keepers. We got our first. We went and took it. We get it. So this was what they came to Moshe about, to discuss this with Moshe Rabbeinu, to find out, hey, what's going on over here? How do we resolve this?
More money,
more problems. You got it. Sorry, this is what the Panech Raza says. The Chizkuni says that was the aid of Rav making all the trouble. This is the same motley crew that made trouble with the Egel. They were making the fights now. What were the fights? But they didn't make the Egel yet. According to the Chizkuni, this is happening right away. So he says, they maintained, hey, you borrowed the stuff from the Egyptians. And they said, well, that's what Moshe told us to do. I says, okay, but like, we're their cousins. So if they're dead now, we should be getting the inheritance. So they're actually fighting over the will.
Right.
You know, there's a will, there's relatives. They say, 1 second, the Egyptians are dead. We should be getting the money, not you. Why are the Jews getting the money? But Hashem wanted it for us. Yeah, Hashem wanted it. Hashem said you should borrow it. Really, it's supposed to go to us now. So anyway, these could be the kind of fights, but according to Rashi, none of that is an issue. It's understood what this is about. You know, a few months with that left leaderless. Obviously, there was issues that developed. And as we hear now, verse 16, Ki yi alehem davar, when they have an issue, boy, lie, they come to me. V'shafati ben ish, uvein re'eyu. So I judge between a person and his companion, his peer. V'hidaiti, and they make known as chukeh ho'alekim, the statutes of God, v'es teresav, and his teachings. Rashi says, ki yovai is not future, they will come. Rather, ki ba, they're coming. This is ongoing. Lashon hoive, this is speaking in the present tense. Lidra shalikim, to seek out God, kitargumai lemizba ulpan. Oh, we learned this already, sorry. Okay, so verse 16, Rashi says, ki yi alehem davar boi lai. What does this mean? Why is it plural? He started off saying, yi alehem davar, and then he finishes off, boi lai, which is singular. Starts plural and finishes singular. So Rashi says, mi shahoy alay hadavar, the one who had the issue, boy lie. So yes, there are issues out there, and then the specific issue that arises comes my way. So there are issues, and then the issues, plural, and then the specific issues come, and I judge one at a time. Vayoymer chosen Moshe. So the father-in-law of Moshe said, they love to him, leite vadavar, this is no good, ataisa, no good what you're doing here. Novel tibol, you're going to get worn out. Gamata, you'll get worn out. Gam ha'amazed, this nation will get worn out. Hashimach. Ki chaved mimcha adover. This is too hard for you. Leisucha leiseu levadecha. You're not going to be able to do this by yourself. You got to delegate. You got to get some help. Rashi says, Vayemer chesen Moshe. So the expression here is, should have said Vayemer loy. So why do we have to say Vayemer chesen Moshe? We know who we're talking about. The interlocutors in this conversation are very clearly spelled out. Nobody else entered the stage. Why do we have to say, identify that the father-in-law of Moshe, or at least Vayemer Yisrei? No, Vayemer Moshe, the Ches of Moshe. So Rashi says, this is Derech Kavod Kairo HaKasov. The verse refers to him in giving him the highest honor. The highest honor he could have had was Ches Neshol Melech. Moshe Benu was really a monarch. He was like a king. And here, Ches of Moshe was the father-in-law of the king. So that was the highest honor the Torah could afford him. And Torah affords him this high honor, and what does he say? Now the Torah treats him with such dignity, such respect. Novel Tivel, Rashi says, look in the Targum, and you'll understand what it means, Novel Tivel. It comes from the terminology of exhaustion, getting tired and worn out. The Lashoinoi, Lashon Kmisha. It comes from the term of something getting withered, something getting you know, like a vegetable that gets dried out. So you're going to lose your energy. You're not going to be able to keep this up. Rashi gives us a French word, which don't do nothing for me. I probably don't know how to pronounce it. Flestere or something, I don't know. Veha'ola novel, like it says, the leaf became dried out. And this is, of course, Yirmiyahu's gloom and doom about Yerushalayim. And he says there will not be any fruit left on the trees. And not only won't be any fruit left on the trees, Tu B'Shvat reference, eh? Not only won't be any fruit left on the trees, there won't even be any leaves left. They'll all become dried out and withered and everything will be gone. V'chein kinvel alei migafen. And similarly, Yishayahu Anavi speaks about, he is the prophet of redemption, but he speaks here in a withering prophecy towards the nations. And he says, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu will go against them to exact revenge for what they did to us, then there will not be anything left. All of their vineyards will become fully dried out. Kamush al yedei chama. This is dried out like a plant can become dried through the sun. Or al yedei kerach. Or through extreme cold. We're experiencing that now. And when something gets frozen or something gets totally withered because of the heat, so its energy is sapped and it becomes limp. It's not able to even maintain its form anymore. So this is going to happen to you. You're not even maintain your form. You're just going to collapse. You need to delegate. Gamata, you too. And he says, you're putting this inordinate demand on Aaron, who is your brother and your helper, and Chur, your nephew, that can be able to handle this. And the 70 elders, everybody's going to collapse. Kaved, this is Mumcha David, this is Kvedai Rav Yesem Mikachacha. You can't bear this load. It's too heavy a load to bear. You will collapse. And so Yisrael says, let me teach you how to be a good rabbi. Since I was the Pope, I'll tell you how to be a good rabbi. You know, afterwards I was Dalai Lama, I was a highly respected spiritual leader. I know how to minister to a congregation. I know how to give a sermon. I know how to speak to them. I know how to adjudicate. Let me teach you, my son. Let me teach you how to be a real spiritual leader. How weird is this? The Pope is teaching the rabbi. It's like it's Moshe Rabbeinu. He just spent 40 days and 40 nights with God, learning from God himself, like he doesn't know what to do. But what he says sounds kind of logical. I mean, it does seem unreasonable for Moshe. It does seem he's going to get worn out. Didn't Moshe Rabbeinu know that by himself? Moshe was a pretty smart man. Right? So it's like there's something missing here in this story. So let's take a look and see how the Rebbe explains this. On page Nunches, Simen Ches of Parshas Yisrei, the Rebbe opens up by telling us that the Mefarshim, like, for example, the Abarbanel and others, they're all like wondering aloud, what is going on here? How is it possible that Moshe didn't figure out what Yosef figured out? Well, like, what was he, like a rocket scientist? Was it such a brilliant observation that you won't be able to keep up this pace? I mean, like, this is elementary. It's basic. Isn't it obvious that this will bring you to a point of exhaustion where you collapse, you lose form, you're not able to function anymore? I mean, like, anybody could have figured this out. Did you need Yisrael or Chayis and Moshe to be the one to come and tell this to Moshe? Something is begging for an explanation. So the Rebbe explains it like this. There are different explanations. Here's how the Rebbe explains it. The Rebbe suggests, Ein lefaresh esayin kipshutei. Do not make the mistake of explaining this literally. Do not think that Yisrael was right and shalahoya b'kecha shol Moshe lishpeit levadei es am Yisrael. Do not think that Moshe did not have the ability to handle this and that he could not have judged the entirety of the Jewish people. The Rebbe says wrong. Wrong. About this, Yisrael actually was wrong. He looked at it through the eyes of a Dalai Lama and he saw a Hindu. Whatever he saw, whatever it is. He saw a non-Jewish perspective, a non-Jewish faith leader. He didn't see Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu is the person that spoke face-to-face to God. Yisrael didn't understand this. He didn't understand. He thought Moshe was an ordinary person. He looked at him as a clergyman, not a Rebbe. And therefore he erred. The truth is Moshe could have done it. From the perspective of who Moshe was, a Rebbe could do it. A Rebbe doesn't need helpers. A Rebbe can do whatever a Rebbe has to do. Moshe got the Torah directly from God. It would be appropriate. Everybody should learn Torah from Moshe Rabbeinu. Why should Torah from somebody else? That's not fair. Everybody wants a direct relationship with the Rebbe, and they all deserve a direct relationship with the Rebbe. And Moshe was right. They should also get the Torah on the same level. But Moshe is wrong. God says Yisrael is right. How does that work? The Rebbe says, before we go to the answer, in the language of Chassidus, like for example, the Alter Rebbe Lekut HaTeira and Parshas Veschanan and elsewhere, Moshe Rabbeinu kiblis HaTeira Me'akadosh Baruch Hu V'dagis R'iyah. Moshe Rabbeinu got the Torah from God in the dimension or frame of sight, seeing. He wanted the Jewish people to get the Torah in the same fashion. He wanted them to see things. You know, sometimes you're trying to explain something to somebody, he says, you see what I'm saying? Don't you see what I mean? And the truth is that when we have a diagram, when you're trying to study something difficult, like a difficult passage in the Mishnah, and then there's a diagram, what you takes 20 minutes to figure out when you're trying to make this, construct this diagram in your head, and you look at the diagram, in one moment, everything clicks. You know exactly what you're talking about. So it's so much easier when you see things. When you can visualize, it's boom, you visualize it. When you can't visualize it, that's very hard. And you have to construct the idea in your mind and understand it in a very esoteric way. Moshe wanted that the Jewish people should see the Torah. If they would see the Torah, they would know the Torah. It would be obvious, it would be clear to them. And this is much loftier than the Madrega, than the level of what's called Re'iyah, hearing. Hearing means like understanding. So, why was Yisrael right then? The answer was, Devarav shal Yisrael le'esyachso efer li'echolta shal Moshe. I'm not so sure if this means Yisrael didn't mean Moshe couldn't do it. Maybe Yisrael did mean that. But God, when God says Yisrael is right, it doesn't mean that he said Yisrael is right about Moshe Rabbeinu. But rather, he's right about the circumstances, the situation. Because in the circumstances, the situation, there's not only Moshe Rabbeinu, there's also the Jewish people that have to be taken into account. So from a perspective of Moshe, Moshe can handle it. Who can't handle it? The people can handle it. Yisrael said, they can't do it. When people come with their own personal issues, they're having a fight. They're having an issue. Moshe Rabbeinu is selfless to the nth degree, transparent, does not color the message with any kind of personal bias, chas v'shalom, gives you exactly what God did, straight from God, direct funnel, the transparent communicator. But the people over here are expressing themselves in the most selfish of ways. They're fighting. Over what? Over a will, over money, over who pitches whose tent on whose head. Fighting. It's all about ego. The polar opposite. So they're not worthy of getting the Torah from Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu is talking on one level, and they're on another level, and they're crossing in the skies. They're not meeting. It's going right over their head. Moshe Rabbeinu is talking Torah. He's talking seeing. He's talking a sense of absolute, total nullification of subservience to God, and they're here with, I'm right. I need my way. I have to win. It's not working. So why didn't Moshe know that? Moshe didn't know his people. Moshe is the one who carries a single solitary sheep and makes sure that she has water. So how could it be Moshe didn't know that? He only understood sheep. God chose him. He said, a person who understands the needs of sheep will surely understand the needs of my people. How could Moshe not be aware of this? Moshe didn't worry about this. Why? Even if they come at the lowest level, when stand in front of Moshe, when you stood in front of Moshe, you were a different you. You weren't you as you are, you were you who you could be. Because Moshe Rabbeinu, when he looked at a person, he looked right through him. You know, my cousin was here last week, and he said something interesting. He said somebody had asked him, you heard him, the Rebbe looked at you, he saw right through you. Wasn't that uncomfortable? And he said, really not, because the Rebbe didn't look at all your dark secrets, all your ugliness. The Rebbe looked at the neshama, He saw the beautiful you, the potential you, not the actual you. So Moshe Rabbeinu, when he looked at the Yid, even though the Yid was a snarling, angry, frustrated, selfish individual who was thinking about nothing but himself, Moshe looked at him and he saw a beautiful neshama that was Nebuch trying to free itself from the tangle, from the web of his bodily reality. And therefore Moshe Rabbeinu believed he could elevate the people. And guess what? He could have. He could have. So if he could have, then why did God agree with Yisrei? Moshe says, whatever God says, then we'll see what God says. So the Rebbe says, Lamrei says, besides all this, Hiskam HaKadosh Baruch Hu Atzas Yisrei. God does agree with Yisrei. Do you know why? Do you know why he told Moshe, you need to delegate, appoint judges, and have a whole system in place? Not because Moshe couldn't do this himself. God said we have to worry about the future here. And the future, there's not every generation is going to have a Moshe Rabbeinu. Not every generation is going to have such an incredible spiritual leader. Not every generation is going to have a Rebbe who will be able to take one look at the people and reveal their essence and elevate them and teach them Torah in a way of Re'i, in a way of seeing. And because that's the case, the people will have a system. This is what they're used to. They became accustomed to this. This is their expectation. But the expectation will no longer be reasonable. It'll be the same people, but not the same Moshe. And if it's not the same Rebbe, it's not the same leader, then it's not going to work. And God knows, of course, that Moshe is not going to go with the Jewish people into Eretz Yisrael. Moshe doesn't know this yet. Moshe thinks he's going into Eretz Yisrael. And the Medrash says if Moshe went into Eretz Yisrael, that's it. It would be a messianic reality. And everything would continue on. But God knows that's not going to be the case. So therefore, Yisrei speaks like Yisrei. He looks like a pope. He speaks like a Dalai Lama. That's fine. But why is he right? He's right without knowing why he's right. He's right because ultimately Moshe can, but it's the people who can't, especially in the future, when they won't have an actual Moshe Rabbeinu. Not every generation had a Moshe Rabbeinu. And they'll have to learn Torah from the students of the students of the students. And some will be like Moshe Rabbeinu. Many will not. And therefore, we have to make sure that the system works. And so therefore, Yisrei, on a practical level, Yisrei's advice worked. And Moshe Rabbeinu had to follow it, even though it doesn't mean that Moshe missed the boat, chas v'shalom, or didn't know what had to be done. Moshe was looking at the reality as it is here now, thinking that it'll lead the Jewish people into Eretz Yisrael and there'll be no issues and no problems in the future. God tells Moshe, listen to Yisrei, because Yisrei looked at it in a very different way. He didn't look at this rosy future. Unfortunately, Yisrei was right. Because of our sins, Yisrei was right. Moshe Rabbeinu would not in the end take us into Eretz Yisrael. We would have future leaders. And if not having this system in place, it never would have been able to endure and continue. Hashem should help us. We should finally have Mashiach. Meet the Rebbe and Moshe Rabbeinu and all that again. And then indeed we'll be able to learn Torah in a manner of Re'iyah rather than seeing. Happy Tu B'Shvat to you all.